from a number of different places in the Old Testament. First, I'll be reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And next I'll be reading from Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And then in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16. But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." And then from Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
For the sermon, it is two parts. The first one comes from Matthew's gospel, the second from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Listen now for God's word to and for us from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15a. "Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod." And then in the second chapter of Ephesians, verses 17 through 22. "So Jesus came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Oh God, we ask that you would silence any voice in our hearts and minds but your own. Help us to be fully present in this moment to what you have to say to us, each personally and as your church. May your word take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives to your glory. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Well, if you haven't guessed it by now, today is Immigration Sunday. It's when I flipped my Presbyterian calendar, it came up Immigration Sunday. Honestly, I don't remember ever seeing that before, but I did look back and it's been there for a couple of years, more than a couple of years. Perhaps I noticed it this time because there seems to be so much in the news about immigration these days, not only about immigration stories, but also the plight of refugees and asylum seekers. By definition, an immigrant is a person who comes to live permanently in a foreign country, and a refugee is a person who's fled their country to escape war, persecution, or natural disaster. One source in my research said that 30 new people are displaced every minute. If this is true, then by the time I lie my head on my pillow tonight, around 10 p.m. or so, approximately 21,600 or over 43,200 people a day somewhere in the world will find themselves on the move, having nowhere to lay their head. 50% of them will be children. The UN Refugee Agency reports that the Russian invasion of Ukraine has unleashed the largest movement of refugees since World War II. Roughly one-third of Ukraine's population is reportedly displaced, and the war in Sudan has displaced about 2 million people. There are at least 120 million refugees worldwide. Add to that the Central American crisis. You know, those who continue to cross our border. Some are asylum seekers who are immigrants who have either been forcibly displaced by war or other factors that present great harm to them and their families. These siblings in Christ are applying for asylum in the United States on the basis that they are fleeing violence, corruption, and crippling drought. The number of displaced people who have left home, who have been separated from family, are grieving, disoriented, fearful, and exhausted keeps going up. But more important than the numbers are the actual human beings that these numbers represent. They are our siblings in Christ, and like us, they are Christ's beloved children. They get hungry just like us. They need safety just like us, a way to make a living just like us, unless we're retired. And if life has beat them down so far that they have forgotten or given up on their dreams, you can bet that they have dreams for their children and their grandchildren, just like we do. We often hear heartbreaking human interest stories that humanize this tragedy. Yes, you'd have to be under a rock in the Sahara somewhere not to know that immigration is in the news and out of the news regularly. And what a weekend to preach on immigration in Florida. Yesterday, Florida Senate Bill 1718 went into effect. Although the topic of immigration is multifaceted, and we may understand or may not understand the ins and outs of this law, none of us know how this law is going to play out in the Sunshine State for immigrants, especially undocumented ones. I recently learned, however, from the executive director of Bethel Farm Worker Ministries, they're one of our mission ministry partners, that the typical wait time to become a United States citizen is 10 years, and the cost per person is anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000. It made me wonder how long it would take to save that kind of money if the only job you could get was picking tomatoes or making concrete block, or being a maid in a hotel. I wonder how many migrant workers fearing deportation might leave our state because of this new law. And I also wonder, if they do leave, who will fill these low-paying jobs in a state where unemployment is about 2.6%? And take these jobs that immigrants gladly fill for the chance, just the chance to stay in this country, to be safe, and to be provided a better life and a better life for their children. Let's not forget that our ancestors, unless you are Black or Native American, were descendants of immigrants, and we are all descendants of immigrants. Our ancestors came to America dreaming of a better future for their families, just as immigrants continue to do today. I wonder how God's words from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 4, "The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." I wonder how those words might influence our response to God's people in this marginalized group of immigrants who are simply dreaming of a better life. Perhaps you've noticed that the movement of people from one home to another is nothing new. In fact, is as old as recorded time, as attested to by biblical witness. In the Old Testament, Adam and Eve left Eden and had to make a home in a place that they never intended. The first story of the Bible is a story of exile and finding a new home. Noah and his family fled the flood and survived and built a new home, and God called Abraham and Sarah out of their home. The first founder of three great faiths left Ur, which is modern-day Iraq, to find a home with God. In their story, hospitality seems to be the most important virtue of faith. When Abraham and Sarah welcomed three strangers, they welcomed God. Jacob was also an exile who returned to reconcile with his brother Esau. Joseph was taken to Egypt against his will. In a time when his family was starving due to famine, Joseph helped them migrate to a new home in Egypt. Life was good for them at first, we remember, until there was a king that arose that did not know Joseph. And by that time, the Israelites had been so they had just multiplied, and the king was afraid of them and enslaved them. And after 400 years of bondage, God sent Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea and into the desert, where they wandered for 40 years before they settled in their new home, the land of milk and honey in Canaan that God had promised them. And then there was a married couple named Elimelech and Naomi who left Bethlehem due to famine. They settled in the land of Moab, where Naomi's husbands and two sons died. And with nowhere else to turn and the famine in Bethlehem over, Naomi returned to her home of Bethlehem, and her daughter-in-law Ruth accompanied her. Well, you know the story. Ruth met Boaz, a relative of Elimelech's, and sparks flew. And Boaz took Ruth for his wife. And Ruth became the great-great-grandmother of King David, from whose lineage Jesus comes. In the New Testament, the pattern of migration keeps repeating as well. It holds the biggest surprise in telling us that God migrated to be with us in the person of Jesus. When Mary was great with the Holy Child, she and Joseph migrated to Bethlehem to be counted in the mandated census. When Herod learned of Jesus' birth, Herod hatched a plan to kill all the baby boys under 3 years old, and an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to leave and take Mary and the babe and go to Egypt. And that's where they sought refuge for over 3 years. God's people seemed to follow the pattern of being uprooted from their homes, becoming immigrants, and then resettling. It was the same for the original disciples, who Jesus simply said to them, "Come and see." They left their nets and their families behind, and they followed him. And it's the same for us. There are no staying places in this world for any of us. There are only stopping places. What will we do to help our siblings in Christ who are neither at a stopping place nor a staying place? What will we do to help immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers? Will we share hospitality? Jesus said, "I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. And when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me." Will we show compassion? In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus asked the lawyer, which was a neighbor. You remember the story, the two of them wouldn't have anything to do with the man who was beaten up and left for dead by the side of the road. And the last one did all kinds of things. There's seven verbs, I can't remember them all right now, but he took care of him. And the man said, of course, the one who showed mercy was the neighbor. The Greek word that's been translated in the New Revised Standard Version as mercy is eleos in the Greek. It can also be translated as loving kindness or loving forgiveness or compassion. When we generously share hospitality and compassion, heaven sings, and the kingdom on earth expands. You see, generous is from the Latin root word gen, which means genealogy. When you are generous, you become kin to the people to whom you are generous, because then you are invested with them and claim your and their inheritance of belonging to God's kingdom, K-I-N-D-O-M. Will we be generous to those who so desperately need help? Yes, the story of our faith is told through the lens of immigration and immigrants, but we often miss the implication that this has on our spiritual practices and our faith tradition. Regardless of any pro-immigrant sentiments that are expressed in Scripture, some believers reject helping immigrants, especially illegal ones, referencing Romans 13, pointing out Paul's teaching, which says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God." Other siblings in the faith have a strong commitment to the separation of church and state, which is often understood to mean that faith is a private matter, applicable to personal matters, but having little effect on life outside of home and the church. Well, Jesus, our shepherd, was very political. He got into politics so much so that it cost him his life. The same was true for Paul, the author of the letter to the Ephesians, as well as all of the disciples who disobeyed the Roman law that made Christianity illegal. Instead, they clung to their beliefs and faith to the point of death, all with the exception of John, who was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he did, tradition tells us, hard labor and was in jail until he died. The rest of the disciples were martyred without recanting their belief in Jesus Christ. It was far from easy, but they understood that faithful Christians are responsible to disobey those human laws that run contrary to the teachings of Christ. Christians are to be spiritual immigrants, citizens of a kingdom not of this world. Our first loyalty as Christians is to the kingdom of God, built when we generously love as Jesus loved, sharing hospitality and compassion. In a few minutes, we will celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's table is the very embodiment of holy hospitality, where all are welcomed, where all are nourished, and then sent out in the places in the world where God sends each of us to live out our discipleship and citizenship as we belong to God's kingdom. Welcoming the stranger, loving the neighbor in concrete action that testifies to God's love for us with hospitality and compassion. Thanks be to God. Amen.